If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Discerning Energies, Tracking Influences, and Staying Clear and Centered in Your Still Point. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward and place yourself in your still point. You know how to do that? Just do it. And find that point that's ever still. You can track it by taking a deep breath. And where that breath ends, you find a still point. The place between the inhalation and the exhalation. Or you can simply put yourself there in your imagination. Very simple. Find that place that's absolutely peaceful and still. And from that place, imagine your life as an ever-widening ripple, like in a still pool of ever-inclusive expansion and bliss. Take a deep breath and send your aura out. Yourself in the very center of the universe. Feel, sense, observe within your vast universal body myriad of universes, sun stars, beings, galaxies, and find the Earth. Look how tiny it is. And it's within your vastness, your vast cosmic being, in which all things reside. But you're at the center, pervading everything with your love. You see, that still point is the God point in which you live and move and have your being. And when you rest in that center, in absolute stillness, you will discover everything is love. Everything is one. And there is no place that you are not. And you observe with great love, great benefaction, all of the beings of all the worlds. And what's the state that we call self-awareness? But there's a state beyond that where you simply are. That Sat Chit Ananda. The one that exists forever. The one who knows and is aware of all things. And the one who expands in radiant bliss and thus gives birth to new worlds and new creations and new extensions of the bliss and love of God. So lower your energies just a little bit. And find those who share the spiritual path with you. There you are. You're holding hands. And you're surrounding the earth with great love and joy and bliss. For you are the midwives of a new birthing. Of Bhumatta, Bhumi Devi, Gaia, the earth, who is being transfigured into a higher dimensional overlay. And you have come to be part of those who serve as midwives for this birthing. And truly, truly, all is well. So now lower your energies a little bit more and find your place upon earth and extend your hands on either side of your body, your arms, as you take your next breath and connect throughout the Christ consciousness grid with all the brothers and sisters of light within whose ranks you serve as a light bestower, a way shower, a light giver, as one who imparts their divine essence in constant benevolent bestowal. And feel that connection throughout the grid. And now I want you to imagine yourself as a conduit, a clear conduit, directly from the very heart love of God, into this time-space continuum, through which flows direct source energy, the energy of unconditional divine love. Take a deep breath and open yourself as a pure conduit, hollow and empty of all but the divine love, directly from the highest divine presence. And feel that expand throughout the planetary grid, just intended. And as it flows throughout the grid, touching to all people, all nations, all world leaders, all planetary situations, all places and conditions and circumstances, that love brings instant healing, cleansing, clearing, and dissolving all negativity back into the nothing from which it only seemed to appear. And we place our hands, our palms out, and we bless this planet and all kingdoms of nature, all elemental spirits of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether, all the elements of nature. And we speak purification and healing into the waters, into the soil, into the air. And we bless everything. We bless everything from the holiness that dwells within us as the Lord God of our being. And so it is. Take a deep breath. And be present in your physical body, but keep the awareness of that expanded state and that connection throughout the grid. Because that is the truth of your eternal position. It will keep expanding and including, because divine life is expansion and inclusion. And if you remembered only that in the discerning of energy, it would be enough. So our true state of existence is always that still point in the center, the jewel in the lotus, the dot in the circle of life, the ever-expanding ripples that come when you drop a petal in the center of a mirror quiet lake. So in the state of soul awareness, the experience is one of being in the hub, in the central hub. Or if you like, in the very center of a flower with many petals. And those many petals represent the parallel probable realities of every possible option of consciousness expression, wherein we have danced in time, space, and danced still, for many aspects are present in the past, in the present, in the future. They're already have completed all of those dances. And so as the soul, as the witnessing self, as the jewel in the heart of the lotus, we watch and observe. But centered in the still point, we begin to act through the energies of radiation, intention, and expanding bliss. Even though we may be active in the world, we stay in the center point. That's a skill that we learn. So that you never lose that sense of being in the center, even though you can be active or not in the world. You don't leave that center point within yourself. And that's the end result of all spiritual practice, is just that. To know how to keep in that center, and not allow the consciousness to become entrained and entrapped in the outer phenomenal activity, which is a play of consciousness. So more and more of us are becoming self-aware and self-realized in the sense that we're awakening to our existence in that center point. And we become masterful, increasingly so, in energy radiation and distribution. So tonight I want to look at that with you. from several different points of view. First of all, we take our stance in the fact that everyone is divine and eternally one with God. There are no higher souls or lesser souls, no greater souls or those souls that are not great. All such polarities and dualities vanish, and the truth that you remain as God created you forever and ever in perfect oneness, indistinguishable from the allness that we attribute to God. So everyone is a sacred and pure soul enacting a role in the divine cosmic drama. Out of God come all things as extensions of immortal love. The Creator loves all of its creation, for everything is an expression of the Creator's love. And not one soul will be lost, because how can that which never left the heart of God be lost? How can God lose itself? So we alternate roles so that everyone gets a chance to portray both villains and supermen and superwomen, both demon and saint, fool and wise one. We, at least from the human egoic level, really can't tell who is a Mahatma, a great soul, or not. I love this story. It's from the Vedas. There's an account of two very great rishis, sages, who were given a choice by the Lord. They could incarnate in a number of lifetimes, I believe it was 7, and attain final liberation, or, as his devotees, or they could incarnate for 3 lifetimes as his arch enemies and attain liberation in 3 lifetimes. So these great souls incarnated as the enemies of the Lord, because that way they could attain liberation quicker. And then there was this fellow, Pundrika by name, from the Vedas, who was so jealous of Lord Krishna that he was obsessed with imitating him in every possible way. He even had himself painted blue, and had 2 extra wooden arms attached to his body with all of the implements that the Lord was known to carry. And so the point of the story is that whether you have been cast in the role of loving God or cast in the role of being the archenemy of God, the one common factor in both states is that God is in your mind all the time, and energy follows thought. And what you think about the most, you become. So that's the primary law of all energy. Energy takes on the qualities and conditions of the thought, of the focus. So we're cast in all of these various roles, isn't it? Just think about it. Everyone is an emanation of the self-same Atma, that divine God being we all are. And we're all cast in these different roles. And you know what? We all get to take off those rolls at some point and take a bow. And we all find that we were friends all along. There were no enemies. There were no evildoers. It was all a role play. Now, granted, only an enlightened person really understands that, to where it's like an automatic default recognition and knowing. And that's what the spiritual path is for, is to consistently bring ourselves back to that awareness so that we never lose track of it. So, in highest truth, we are simply, every one of us, a conduit. In our highest sense, we are conduits for the universal life force, the divine spirit, to flow through. That's it. So when we have awakened to that still point and have identified as that pure being, whether we sit silently immersed in present wholeness or samadhi, or engaged in activity, our presence, our very existence, blesses all life everywhere. Everything becomes awakened in you and flows effortlessly. Your wholeness, your holiness, blesses everything and everyone, everywhere, all the time, once you're awakened to who you truly are. Your happy wholeness radiates as peace, joy, certainty, safety, truth to all beings, through your thoughts, words, actions. And thus your stillness and repose is all that's required for you to bless all that exists. There's no greater gift that you could possibly give to anything in this creation but the gift of your own self, bestowed in unconditional loving. That's it. That's the greatest thing you could do with your life, is practice staying centered in that still point. Now, as you do that, your energies are continually renewed and recharged, for you are literally being lived by the divine life force, by the Spirit of God. And once you have awakened to your divine nature, all you need to do is live awake and aware. That's it. Your awakened awareness does more good in the world than all the politicians, charitable organizations, and do-gooders put together. That awakened awareness that's centered in that still point radiates light and love and peace nonstop, without any effort on your part, and without even your knowledge or need to know about that. All knowledge, when necessary, simply presents itself into your mind as needed. That is omniscience. You can tap into any required knowledge directly, instantly, as it is required. As it is required, not through just curiosity. So when one is free of personal selfhood, of ego, and egoic ambition, the universes rush to fill you and fulfill you endlessly. Miracles occur through your presence, but you take no need of them, nor pride in them. Or you know you're simply a conduit for the divine spirit to live through and act through and do all things that are needed. And that's it. That is the truth. So there are three qualities that cause action and reaction to occur in creation. And these three qualities are called gunas, which means qualities in Sanskrit, and it's the play and fluctuation and dance and interaction, interplay, interdancing of those three aspects that cause everything to have qualities of expression. And they're called inertia or tamas, rajas or agitation, and sattva, or equilibrium. So you have inertia, you have activity or agitation, and you have sattva, or balance, equilibrium. And they govern everything in life, including our moods as we go through the day. For example, when you are in a state of feeling lethargic, sluggish, dull, just plain blah, that's the action of the tamoguna, or the quality of inertia, that's manifesting. When you feel excited, energized, motivated, passionate, ambitious, go get 'em, that's the rajoguna, or the quality of agitation. And when you feel calm, centered, balanced, and serene, that's the quality of equanimity, or the sattva-guna. Now, ultimately, you transcend all of those qualities of nature when you are centered in the Satchitananda. But meanwhile, it should matter to us to pay attention to these states of consciousness, because we need to become increasingly aware of the energy state in which we're operating. For example, you can eliminate stress and maintain yourself at that still centered point within if you're aware of the things that cause you to become agitated and you shift your consciousness into that still point in the center. You can shift out of stress. So that you learn to direct yourself out of the state of inertia or tamoguna, the blahs, by getting up and moving your body and your mind into another activity, into a state of action, because the minute you move your body, your mind goes along with that. And you can move from that inertia to action. And that is the step up and out of those states where you feel like a slug. So all of us are very familiar with tamo and rajoguna, with feeling sluggish and agitated. But to experience sattva guna, the quality of equilibrium, requires spirituality. Requires some centering, calming practice, like mindfulness, mantra, prayer, meditation. You gotta become acquainted with a state of balance, which very few people are. You have to be on a spiritual path, more or less, to even know what I'm talking about. So the source of all dis-ease is living from a state of the devitalized blahs, alternating with frenetically driven lifestyles, which pretty much describes our life in the 21st century. So every disease can be healed and eliminated by training oneself to live a spiritually poised and centered sattvic life, one of spiritual equanimity. That's why meditation is so important. Or some way of returning to that still point when you're stressed out. the spiritual path involves finding and maintaining the peace of inner calm and knowing how to regain it when you lose track of it in the hustle and bustle of life. So that's your first area to discern. Which of the three gunas or qualities is affecting you at the moment? And what do you need to do to shift your energy into one of greater equanimity and balance? For example, if you start to feel depressed, get up and move your body. That immediately shifts your state of consciousness. And when you've gotten that shifted through movement, music, going out for a walk or a jog, calling a positive friend, see if you can trace that triggered, whatever it was that triggered that depression. If you pay attention, you will always find that it was linked to some fear, some sense of insecurity and inadequacy, or feeling of lack. So this is how you learn to master your state of consciousness and your energy by self-direction rather than remaining stuck. Next, you become aware of the energies of the people who you hang out with and share living space with. Their state of consciousness and influence can cause you to take on their qualities of expression, their moods. So you need to be aware. And to the best of your ability, keep company with those who share your ideals, your lifestyle, your values, your spiritual interests. And you'll find that when you're on a spiritual path, there are fewer and fewer companions, especially as you enter the advanced stages of self-realization. You'll find people who can't keep up with you will simply fall aside. And at the same time, you'll come to enjoy your own company, your own delicious wholeness so much to where you're no longer dependent upon social interactions. You can take them or spend your time in the silence and enjoy your own deliciousness, whatever. So your entire relationship to life shifts from needing personal validation, understanding, and love to where you experience all of humanity as your family and the entirety of the universe itself as your home. And this sense of inclusiveness just keeps expanding as one unfolds in spiritual awareness. So what you once looked to others to fulfill and complete in your life, you now find within your own center point. You start to experience genuine contentment, inner happiness, peace, for no other reason than you've awakened and found your center point of true existence. And with that, you learn to practice ongoing spiritual ecology. Because outer pollution is simply caused by polluted states of consciousness, by negative evil, ego-driven thoughts and emotions and actions. So to end your own self-pollution, you use the violet flame. You take a deep breath, and you blaze that violet flame up in through and around every atom of your being, asking that anything that can be cleared and dissolved that's negative and no longer works for you be cleared through the grace of God. When you've had an emotional outburst, you become angry, you've shouted at someone, there's argumentative energy floating in the air, violet flame it. It's so simple, you just go, whoosh, you know, take your hands and swirl it out. Or any negative states you may have encountered, situations, places where people have had an argument, or there's been violence, or accidents, or criminal activity, violet flame it. Don't allow yourself to get caught up mentally and emotionally with the karmic releases and dramatic patterns of other people. Keep yourself clear so you don't magnetize those energies into your field. And after you've cleared yourself, ask for the pure white light of the Christ, the Holy Spirit, whatever words you want to use, to fill, surround, and protect you. And use your clearing and centering techniques as often in the day as necessary, which is a lot right now, to keep balanced, clear, and centered spiritually. That's your job assignment right now. We have to do that for the benefit of all sentient beings, and particularly right now for America and the planet. We are rocking and rolling right now, and we are the ones who are here to hold the peace and to be that still point of sanity for our fellow human beings. So take charge of your emotional state and don't allow yourself to indulge in self-pity, self-condemnation, and other worthless states. Use the light to clear and center yourself and enjoy how great it feels to be content and peaceful all the time. Sai Baba has told us that there's no happiness greater than contentment. So what we're referring to here as contentment, or even bliss, in practical living is simply a state of ongoing well-being and goodwill. The state of ongoing well-being and goodwill. And that would be a sattvic or a centered, balanced way of living each day. Now, discerning energies and situations that you may encounter, things that you read, watch, and pay attention to. People in general, if you notice, are seeking either power and influence or love and approval. Those seem to be the two major ego patterns that we tend to adopt. So both are egocentric states, and both are outgrown as we come to recognize our own wholeness and find our true center point of existence. Now, the negative ego-driven states always seek control. Pay that attention to that. The negative-driven states always seek control. That which is called the negative power, or the call power, or the demonic power, the negative power, whatever, always seeks control, and the approach is always to dominate people and situations. Now, that's a person who has chosen the path, primarily, of power. But people also use seduction and feigned love to do the same thing. So that doesn't mean that a person that's come in seeking love and approval isn't running this pattern, too. We do it in many ways. So, what they want is to be in control. They want to achieve personal positions of power, which they do through control and domination. And what they do is disempower you through intimidation. They make you feel a sense of inadequacy to stand up to them. They push you back inside yourself energetically to where you don't feel like you can be assertive in a situation. They will bombard you with loud voices, overwhelming you with impactful rhetoric. They'll cause you to feel insecure, to doubt yourself, to feel confused, off-center, anxious, worried, paranoid, or bottom line, just plain fearful. You'll also feel drained whenever you're in such a person's presence or such a situation. You'll just feel like the sap is drained out of you. Because the negative self, the ego, takes energy. It never gives. It always takes energy. And it needs the energy of conflict and fear to fuel it. That's its dinner. So, an especially skilled worker of darkness, as every ego-driven person is, a worker of darkness, whether or not they're aware of it, will disempower you physically, emotionally, and mentally to where you'll feel shut down energetically, suppressed, and sometimes even suffocated, as if they've sucked all the vitality out of you. They'll often use threats to entrain you energetically and get you into their camp of influence. If you ever notice any of that which we've just shared, immediately leave the presence of anyone who tries to control, suppress, or intimidate you in any way, because that is a dark energy. The key to discerning this type of energy is to notice that there's no genuine warmth or goodwill or caring in such ego-driven personalities. They are cold, even if feigning friendliness or mouthing nice words. They can even be smiling and attractive and magnetic and appealing, but it's all a seductive facade. So always discern and read the energies of a person, place, situation, a book, a program you might be watching. Don't allow things into your inner household of consciousness that are open doorways to darkness. You can't heal a darkened mind, and that's the only part that ever becomes darkened, is the mind. It never touches the soul. It's just the mind, which then becomes deranged, let's say, with wrong thinking, and then it acts through the personality. But that's when there's not been any direct contact with the soul, which is the case with many people on the planet. They haven't awakened to anything higher than their minds, so they're easily persuaded and drawn into powerful rhetoric. So select only what uplifts and inspires goodness. That's a good rule of thumb. Now, positive energy comes from those who have made some degree of contact with their higher self, or, in the case of the initiate, the soul. Positive energy comes only from spiritual contact and integration. It is very easy to spot. There are 9 major qualities that reveal a person who is filled with the divine spirit. These qualities are love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, goodness. Goodness of heart. Goodness of heart, which always expresses as a sense of warmth, a sense of welcoming embracement. The voice of one filled with the divine spirit is soft, respectful, kind, and filled with that warmth. The influence is one of upliftment, encouragement, empowerment. It's vitalizing, inspiring, life-giving. You feel edified, built up within your own beingness, strengthened in your sense of who and what you are. You feel worthy and beloved and seen and heard and cared for. So the counsel of the godly is healing, comforting, reaffirming, life-giving. And one is left better off after the encounter. One's life is bettered as a result. Spirit-filled encounters draw one closer to one's own God self and to God, to your own still point. You'll feel more connected, secure, expanded, and freed of fear and worry. Contact with the Divine Spirit always liberates. Where the Divine Spirit is present, there is freedom. That's the biggest, biggest key. Positive energy sets you free. Positive energy causes an expansion of one's heart, mind, aura, and consciousness. You feel liberated to be greater and bigger than you were before the encounter occurred. Expansion is divine life coursing through you. Let's take a deep breath. And again, from your center, imagine you are expanding. Go beyond your room, your house, your apartment, wherever you are. Expand outwardly through your community, your state, your nation. Keep expanding like a Google Zoom. Rise above your domicile and expand until you can look down on that tiny little speck that's your house where you live. An embrace of all the life that you can possibly encompass in your being with love, with gratitude, with appreciation. Divine life is inclusion and expansion. And just be aware again of your body sitting in your room. But keep that feeling of being expanded. Learn how to be both in the expanded state and present in your physical body and grounded at the same time. So notice that after each positive encounter, you'll feel energized and hopeful, happy, calm, uplifted in every way. Positive influence always has positive ramifications in your life, which seem to keep unfolding in goodness and well-being. I was watching Razzo live stream gazing today, and they showed the premiere of the film The Power of Silence, which is a story about documentary of the life of Razzo, who, if ever there was a conduit for the love of God and the peace of God, it would be Razzo. How he can stand there for 10 minutes and just look at you and change your life. And I was brought to tears as they were interviewing the people who had just come out of watching the premiere in New York City. They had one here in Los Angeles and one in New York City. And that was just recent. And there was a woman that was weeping as she was crying. She was a very beautiful young woman. And she said, all of a sudden, it's as if the whole world colors came alive. Colors came alive. And I was given a new life. I felt before like I was a ghost just floating without any existence. And now for the first time, I've come to myself. I'm here. I'm here. And she just cried. And I did too. It was so moving. And both men and women, in some cases, broke down and wept as they were being interviewed because they were so deeply moved. What is it that could be a greater example than Braco, the beautiful young man from Croatia, who has a gift of bringing pure source energy through his radiant, pure presence? I've also had many, 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 many gazings with him. And about the first 50 or so, I wept and sobbed uncontrollably. You don't know why. It affects people in different ways. But afterwards, I felt so, you know, the peace that bypasses understanding. I thought I was peaceful before. But my first gaze, I have never experienced in my life a deeper peace than the one that descended on me. And I just felt so hopeful and so happy and so joyful for humanity. Oh my gosh, what could be a more perfect time for a live, free live streaming of gazing with Braco than right now after this election and all of the stuff going on as a result of the election. And so yesterday, today, and tomorrow, there was this live streaming. And you can watch it on television, excuse me, on the computer. Just go to Braco, and you put in his name, Braco, looks like Braco, Braco. And the website will leap up, Braco.me.tv is the website. And you can gaze with him. He has these gazings, free gazings, about every month. So you can, sign up so you can get notified. You can hold up pictures or names of loved ones or just hold them in your mind. And that energy will flow to them as well. They don't have to know that you're gazing for them. People have been healed by all sorts of diseases, cancer, terminal states, because somebody held up their picture or thought of them or brought the energy of Braco to them in some way. You can watch him on YouTube as well. And I'm saying that because Braco is such a perfect example of a person who's a divine conduit for the love of God. And we can all be that. That's what we were made for. And the only thing that stands in the way of us is our own thoughts of who we have to be and what we have to do and what we don't have to do or be anything but who we have always been. A pure and sacred soul, forever one with God. We don't have to add anything on to that. The more we add, the more problems we create for ourselves unnecessarily. So it's possible to be as happy and as carefree as a child. Like Braco. Braco in Croatian, by the way, means little brother. Little brother. And he's as innocent as a child. Innocent as a child. The only thing he lives for is to share his gift. And that gift leaves you with a feeling of happiness and hope. Real, genuine hope for the planet. He's traveling all over the planet. There are sometimes as many as over 5,000 people doing these live streamings, and sometimes as many as 94 different nations that are doing the live streaming at the same time. So it's a tremendous opportunity for us to join with the nations and the brothers and sisters throughout the world and connect with them energetically through the live streaming. Because I believe that such as Bratso and those of us that choose to be conduits of God's love and grace, inlets of grace, inlets of love, inlets of sanity into this planetary grid, that we will be able to bypass the worst of the nightmare, the ego's nightmare, which is the war and the fear and the suffering. If enough of us can be inlets for that pure energy to source through us into the collective grid, into the collective place on the planet that we inhabit, in the physical anyway, we can bypass a lot of the most dire ramifications that could have befallen the planet had we not stepped forward as emissaries of grace, as conduits of living love. So if you would, I would suggest that you consider what we've shared tonight. And if you choose, consecrate yourself as a conduit of divine love. And if you don't know how to do that out of your own presence, ask that Jesus or Sai Baba or Mother Mary or whomever you feel really close to spiritually, that's a divine being, use you to flow his or her love through. And you can do that. We've asked Sai Baba to do that in situations where we were too upset or too frightened or whatever. To be clear, we just ask that Sai Baba flow his love through us. So consecrate your life to be lived through by God. Allow God to live through you, because that's the real you. So I'd like to close with a mantra from the Tibetan master, DK. The sons of man are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. So let's complete our time together tonight by chanting Anai Hu, which again is a sacred chant that is basically saying you and I are one. All life is one. And God is the life in which we live and move and have our being as love. Deep breath. And I you. from the still point of the I am that I am. I send blessings to all the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds, and to each one of you. May the peace of God be with you always. Namaste.